nanohub.org.
You can follow along with this presentation using printed slides from the NanoHub. Visit www.nanohub.org and download the PDF file containing the slides for this presentation. Print them out and turn each page when you hear the following sound. Enjoy the show.
So let me begin by thanking the organizers for this workshop and also for inviting me to speak today. I'm going to be talking about some switching that was experimentally seen in some molecular junctions of oligophenylene-ethinylene systems and a polaron model that we've proposed to explain this behavior. So just to briefly outline, I'll go over some of the experimental results, some of these wires that are shown here, which showed both negative differential resistance, this sharp rise with current and then drop, as well as hysteresis and memory behavior. And then I'll talk about some previously proposed mechanisms that tried to understand and explain this behavior before explaining our polaron model, which treats both NDR and hysteresis, and then introduce some electronic structure calculations to gain some parameters so that we can make some quantitative predictions on the functionality dependence. So this first experimental report by the groups of Jim Tor and Mark Reed consisted of this nitroamine OPE in a nanopore setup with about 1,000 molecules in the gap. And the current voltage characteristic showed this really sharp NDR, where the figure of merit for NDR is a peak-to-valley ratio, and this had about 1,000 to 1, which is impressive and makes this viable for device applications such as amplification and switching circuits. They also did this experiment for the nitro OPE and found that in a different temperature regime, they also found NDR and hysteresis. This result, actually, at 60 Kelvin, was fully reversible. So there wasn't actually hysteresis here, but later on I'll show that they found it later on. They also looked at the unsubstituted and the amine OPE, and they found that those did not have any NDR hysteresis and stayed in a stable conductance state. So based on some other facts, they can conclude that this NDR is probably of molecular origin and not due to stochastic switching, such as metal filament formation or something like that. Other groups were also able to reproduce this work. So this is another result from Mark Reed's group with a nitroamine at higher temperature. And now you've seen this forward scan resulted in this low conductance state. And then after applying a right pulse, they were able to get back to the NDR, where it's now been broadened because they're at higher temperature. Another result from the group of Richard Keel with a bilayer junction consisting of a nitroamine OPE and an alkane thiol found hysteresis, where now the forward scan was the NDR, and then the reverse scan was in this low conductance state. Experiments were also done with nitro OPE, and this is a group from Teresa Mayer's result from Teresa Mayer's group, where they have a slightly less sharp NDR peak to valley of about 2 to 1, but no hysteresis. And then there's this single molecule break junction result, which had both NDR and hysteresis. So there's a lot of experimental results, and let me summarize. For the four molecules that have most commonly been studied, shown here, there's some general agreement, although, as you can see, there's not an entirely consensus. I haven't shown the number of literature references for each of these, but generally for the self-assembled monolayer, for the nitro and the nitroamine, it's generally been found that the NDR is repeatable in hysteresis as well. For the single molecule case, it's probably debatable. There's a lot of room here for theoretical explanations, and there have been a few that have been proposed. From the first experimental report, charging was used to explain the NDR. They said that initially the system's in its neutral, low-conducting state, and there's a one-electron reduction to the anion, which provides a charge carrier, and the sharp rise in current is then seen. Increasing voltage further results in the second reduction and shuts off current. And some theoretical work looked at molecular orbitals and their spatial structure in the frontier orbitals for the neutral anion and dianion. And they found generally that the anion had a delocalized structure, while the other two, the neutral and dianion, were more localized. So this provided at least a qualitative explanation. However, self-consistent calculations with NEGF have shown that there's an insignificant amount of charging at the bias regimes which have been used in these experiments. So there's still some problems with this explanation. Also, you can't really explain the hysteresis that was seen. Another explanation was conformational change, in which the middle ring of the oligophenylene systems rotated as a result of some bias-induced conformational change. And this will shut off current flow. And related to this is monolayer effects, such that the packing will change or alignment, and neighboring ring effects will cause the conductance to drop off. A more recently proposed mechanism is gold-sulfur molecule hybridization changes with voltage. And this was debated because as a result of some experiments where the same OPE wires were put on silicon surface with direct silicon carbon bonds, and no NDR was seen. So that's another explanation. We propose polaron formation, which basically consists of a charging event followed by charge stabilization by both geometric relaxation and electronic polarization. This can explain both the NDRs I'll discuss and hysteresis. I won't spend as much time on that, but that's also comes from the model. So to introduce our polaron model, we begin with this simple Hamiltonian. We have a single bridge level to describe the electronic state of the molecule, and it's coupled to the vibrational modes in the system by this linear electron-phonon coupling term, where the strength of the interaction is given by M sub n. And then we have the standard terms for the left and right electrodes. Now, in IETS or in the weak electron-phonon coupling regime, you can treat this with Born approximation, and that's been already discussed. But for polaron formation to occur, the electron-phonon coupling has to be necessarily strong, so we can't do this. So we make a mean field approximation. So the main point here is we write the phonon terms in the Hamiltonian, but now we replace this C dagger C, which is just the electronic level population, by its average mean field value. So this is analogous to Born-Oppenheimer approximation, where the vibrational and electronic degrees of freedom see each other in only an average sort of way. So this is replaced by the average of C dagger C. And then you can do some math. And as it turns out, you can replace the linear coupling term by its average, which is proportional to the coupling and the frequency of the modes, times the population on the level. So once you've done this, we can plug this back into the electronic Hamiltonian, and we get just an electronic Hamiltonian, where now the single level has been renormalized by this term here. So epsilon bar now consists of the original energy level, and depending on the occupation on the level, it can maintain if the population is zero, or if it's fully occupied, it'll drop by two times what I call the reorganization energy here. And the reorganization energy, if you're familiar with this, is just the inner sphere Marcus reorganization energy, basically the amount of energy that's gained upon going from the vertical anion state, in this case, to the equilibrium structure in the anion potential energy surface. So we have this Hamiltonian, but we don't know what these roots are. But we can get another equation for the population on the level from this standard Green's function equation. And so we now have two equations for n naught and epsilon bar, which outside of zero bias needs to be solved for iteratively. And so we can do this to self-consistency and obtain the roots of our equation. And now because this Hamiltonian looks just like elastic tunneling, we can use Landauer and calculate current voltage characteristics. Before I go into the actual calculations, it might be useful to see what the parameters in our model actually represent physically. So left and right electrode, and we have our single level at epsilon naught initially. And as I said, if charging occurs and this level is occupied fully, it'll drop down by 2 e reorg. And depending on the placement of these electrodes and what the bias level you're at, you can imagine that this can lead to a sudden switching between a low and high conductance state. More on that later. Lambda, as I was talking about earlier, is just this energy difference between where the geometry you're at when you go directly from the neutral equilibrium structure to the anion equilibrium structure to the anion in the same geometry and to the anion in the equilibrium. There's also an important contribution here, which I'll discuss later, from the vertical electron affinity. And the sum of these two is just the free energy change in this case, or the exergicity delta. So to show how this model can lead to NDR and hysteresis, I've picked some parameters, and we can walk through it step by step. So initially, for the numbers I've chosen, there's two stable roots at zero voltage. And in this calculation, I've picked the left and right electrode molecule couplings to be symmetric, so it's symmetric about zero bias. In the low bias regime, for these parameters, there's two stable roots. The green, which is n not equals 1, the occupied root, is down here below the left and right chemical potentials. And the unoccupied root, n equals 0, the blue line. So initially, this is closer to both the left and right, and it's in a slightly higher conductance state. But as we increase bias, we approach the case where this epsilon bar level is in resonance with the right chemical potential, and we get a sharp rise in the current. Eventually, this actually becomes above, and the right chemical potential drops below, and this trapped charge can come off the molecule. Once this happens, there's no longer the ability for the system to have the n not equals 1 root, and we only have one unoccupied root. So the level is up here again, and that's what leads to this sharp drop in current and NDR. Of course, since I've drawn these two roots, you can also imagine that this could form a hysteresis loop. One thing I should have said is our system is taken in steady state, and because of our mean field approximation, we can't really specify which loop will be followed as a function of the temperature or the voltage scan rate, as you know, experimentalists have probed, and this is something we'd like to do, but we can just say that there's the availability for high and low conductance state and bistability. So to actually get some numbers out of our electronic structure calculations, we need to relate them to our simple model parameters, epsilon naught and epsilon reorganization. Epsilon naught is basically this energy required to place an electron from the gold electrodes onto the molecule. And so it's a transition from the molecule and neutral gold to a gold cluster that's given up an electron onto the molecule. And we can rewrite this in terms of the gold work function minus this vertical electron affinity. And luckily, there's been a recent experiment with the OPE monolayer absorbed on gold and a measurement of its work function. So we use that number. Additionally, as I kind of mentioned earlier, geometric relaxation isn't the only contribution to charge stabilization here. There's also a large energy change as you go from the neutral to anion, and that's the vertical electron affinity. That's neglected in our treatment because we just have a single level. In a solid state problem, this energy difference between n and n minus 1 or n plus 1 is negligible. But here in a single molecule, of course, as any chemist will tell you, that's a large part of the energy change. So we have to include that. The sum of these two is, like I said, the exergicity. Additionally, the calculations that we did were for the isolated molecule in gas phase. So in the real system geometry, there's two metal electrodes, and that'll create additional charge stabilization due to surface charge rearrangement. So we take that into account with a simple model calculation for the image charge energy and the geometry of two idealized planar metal electrodes. So we can run these calculations for the four molecules I discussed earlier. If you're interested in the details, this was done with DFT and B3PW91, which is just an exchange hybrid exchange correlation functional, and calculate the energies of these three points, essentially, as well as our simple calculation of the image charge energy that's taken from Mulliken populations of the anion state. And the numbers of interest are these last two here. So just looking at it qualitatively, you can see that the nitro-nitro mean C and D in this table have both a smaller epsilon naught, the single level energy, as well as a larger reorganization energy, epsilon reorg. And this makes sense because the nitro group is going to contribute to stabilizing the anion. It also would make us think that there'll be a greater chance for polaron effects since the polaron energy shift was just given by epsilon minus 2e reorg. So we have these numbers now. We can put this into our self-consistent model to calculate the roots as well as current voltage characteristics. So when we do this, there's still one parameter that's left that we can pick, and that's the coupling to the leads. So for the case where we have symmetric coupling, gamma left equals gamma right, and at the temperature at which the very first experimental result I showed was taken at, I should say temperature in our model is only in the leads. So the phonons are assumed to be in equilibrium. So it's not there. It's only in the leads. But we see that the C and D, the nitro and nitro mean, have the sharp NDR peaks that we saw in experiment. A and B, because of their larger epsilon naught and smaller reorganization energy, stay in this low conductance state, the X's and O's. And they don't form polarons because they get to saturation before anything can occur. So the relative heights here for the peak to valley ratio are about 480 to 1 and 80 to 1. This is in good agreement with the experiment, which saw that the nitroamine had a larger NDR and the nitro had a smaller one. This isn't totally in agreement with the experiment, however, because the nitro OP wasn't found to have this NDR effect at 60 Kelvin, but this could be something to do with the fact of our equilibrium steady state structure and treatment and mean field, that we're not necessarily picking the right routes that will be seen experimentally. And so note that this is corresponding to an occupied route here as we increase current. And the drop in current is actually as a result of the charge coming off the molecule. The same model that I showed earlier, which I call oxidation because the NDR occurs as N0 goes from 1 to 0. The model is symmetric, however, so you could construct parameters such that the NDR occurs as you go from N0 goes from 0 to 1 or a reduction. So what this means physically is these are parameters for a neutral to anion transition, but for the NDR to occur, our model says you have to have the charge on the molecule initially, and then it comes off as the level approaches resonance. We can also look at the case with asymmetric coupling, so fairly strongly asymmetric here. And in this case, we see that only the nitro OPE has NDR. The nitroamine stays in the low conducting state along with the A and B. And this may or may not have been seen experimentally. But what this is coming from is the fact that our nitro OP is actually has a larger parameter range because of its larger reorganization energy, in which we can expect to see NDR and hysteresis effects. So this might be predictive for experimentalists when you have a more asymmetric, you know, bottom contact, top contact coupling. You can expect it might be a little more difficult to find the NDR in these systems. So to summarize, we presented a polaron model, and it can produce NDR and hysteresis if the reorganization energy is large enough. The nitro group is really the key point here because it stabilizes the formation of the anion and leads to polaron formation. And this is probably important that our NDR only results when you already have a charge on the system and it's coming off to form the neutral. And the nitroamine is less strongly in the NDR regime, so it might be a little more difficult to see. And in order to really understand hysteresis, which we'd like to be able to predict which hysteresis loop you'll be on, as well as what the scan rate dependence will be, what's the minimum time or the maximum time you can probe a voltage scan and still see this switching, we need a more elaborate treatment of our Fronin degrees of freedom and a not steady state model. And let me just thank the co-workers on this. We're with Misha Galperon and Mark Ratner, and helpful discussions with Abe Neitzon and Chad Risco and the following funding agencies. And thank you.